Hello, this is Wendy Bauer, returning with the Decatur Herald and Review, February 22nd, 2016. We continue now with the death notices. Deaths listed in Decatur, Macon County: Earl Halford from Decatur, Carrie C. Custer from Decatur, Helen M. Lundstrom, Decatur, Thelma Louise Osterhoff, Decatur, Danny Weber, Decatur, Claire M. Wells, Decatur, and Laureen Woodley, Decatur. Also from Central Illinois, Julie I. Himes, Vandalia, and Eileen White, Lovington. The list of funerals for today, Monday, February 22nd, include Julie I. Himes, 50, from Vandalia, formerly of Fillmore, at 11 a.m. in Unity Baptist Church, Vandalia. Helen M. Lundstrom, 81, of Decatur, at 10:30 a.m. in Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church. Claire M. Wells, 96, of Decatur, at noon in St. Patrick Catholic Church. And Eileen White, 66, of Lovington, at 1 p.m. in First Baptist Church, Arthur. Listed under the funerals pending for Monday, February 22nd, include Earl Halford, 85, of Decatur, who died on Saturday, February 20th, 2016, arrangements being handled by Moran and Goebel Funeral Home. Carrie C. Custer, 69, of Decatur, who died Saturday, February 20th, arrangements being handled by Tanzius Logan Funeral Service and Care. Thelma Louise Osterhoff, 92, of Rockingham, North Carolina, formerly of Decatur, who died Saturday, February 20th, arrangements being handled by Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton. Danny Weber, 63, of Decatur, who died Friday, February 19th, arrangements being handled by Walker Funeral Service and Chapel. And finally, Laureen Woodley, 85, of Decatur, who died Sunday, February 21st, arrangements being handled by Walker Funeral Service and Chapel. And now from the At Work page, segments of the article, Meet David P. Koshinsky, Chamber of Commerce Entrepreneur of the Year. Hometown, Decatur. Family, my wife is Judy. We have two girls, Julie Koshinsky-Hovis and Jennifer Don, and six grandchildren. Occupation: President and Chief Executive Officer of Investment Planners, Inc. and IPI Wealth Management, Inc. Education: Bachelor's degree in Accounting from Millikan University, Certified Public Accountant. His I'd Rather Be bumper sticker would read, I'd rather be cruising. Time on a ship with my wife is when we can step back from the hustle and relax. His hobbies and interests: flying has been an interest that has provided special times with our grandkids. It has also supported our business and charitable activities. His first job: with the CPA firm of Richardson, Karlosky, Pinkley & Coupler in Decatur. The firm is known today as McGuire, Juhas, Huffman & Buckley. Why he does what he does. I view the time and talents given to us as a gift that is to be used to honor the one who gave us those gifts. My goal is to create an environment where advisors and staff can use their gifts to provide financial and wealth management services that we describe as strategic lifestyle and wealth management. We provide counsel beyond the ultimate investment of assets. Our purpose is to assist our clients in defining their goals in all aspects of their lives and then utilize their assets and talents to achieve their goals. Personal approaches to challenges. We pride ourselves in turning obstacles into opportunities. We face challenges every day, and we work with a strong team that looks beyond the immediate problem toward a solution that does more than just eliminate the challenge. At IPI, we have created a culture that thrives on finding solutions for others. With this focus, we use challenges to create opportunities to serve others. His community involvement. Our family is excited about the direction of Decatur these past few years and welcomes the opportunity to serve. Paw Print Ministries is a recent addition to our city that serves the hospitals, nursing homes, cancer care, schools, and individuals in crisis on a daily basis. We support and are involved with organizations that include Webster Cantrell Hall, Decatur Christian School, Lutheran School Association, Dale's Southlake Pharmacy's Wounded Warrior Project, Richland Community College, Decatur Celebration, Decatur Forsyth Classic, and others. Tell us a little about Investment Planners, Inc. Investment Planners, Inc. was started in 1987 and has grown from a startup to an organization that has national exposure and recognition in the financial services industry. IPI Wealth Management began doing business in 1993 as a registered investment advisory firm. In 2008, IPI Wealth Management was also named one of the top 10 fastest-growing firms by Financial Advisor Magazine in 2008. Today, we serve over 10,000 clients in all 50 states. And why should a person consider hiring a financial advisor? Managing our lives and finances has become a complicated and time-consuming endeavor. Our long-term success depends on defining our goals and then implementing a plan to achieve these goals. When should we start saving? How much? What should we put in it? Should we use the 401k at work? What about college for the kids, etc.? These questions can become overwhelming. Partnering with an advisor that is properly focused on supporting the client will provide knowledge, accountability, and peace of mind as they progress toward their goals. And then from Chicago, ADM named Most Admired Food Company. For the second year in a row, Archer Daniels Midland Company has been ranked the world's most admired company in the food production industry by Fortune magazine. Considered the definitive report card on corporate reputation, Fortune's annual list of the world's most admired companies ranks companies in a number of major industries. I am deeply proud of our ADM teams for the work they've done to earn this distinction, said Juan Luciano, ADM Chairman and CEO. Our people work tirelessly each day to deliver exceptional value to our customers and shareholders, and the Fortune ranking is a tremendous validation of their efforts. A total of 652 companies from 30 countries were evaluated by 4,000 executives, directors, and security analysts. Survey respondents were asked to rate companies in their industry on 9 criteria: innovation, people management, use of corporate assets, social responsibility, quality of management, financial soundness, long-term investment value, quality of products and services, and global competitiveness. From the state and regional page, Edith Brady Lunny, Lee News Service writer, brings article from Haworth. Haworth residents want explanation for police chief's firing. Residents who packed the village hall on Thursday night will have to wait for answers to their questions about the recent termination of police chief Chris Lane. Mayor Todd Zaluka read a one-page statement to the more than 50 residents at the first village board meeting since Lane was fired on Tuesday. Lane, chief for 9 years, attended the meeting but did not speak other than to respond to a question from an audience member who asked if he was aware of the reasons behind the termination. He said he did not know the reasons. The mayor said more information will be made public at a special board meeting at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday. Zaluka said a 3-year discussion among board members, combined with a review of personnel records and input from outside agencies that work with Haworth Police, led him to take the action, which was allowed under state law. "Based on all this information, I concluded there was only one outcome," Zaluka said. "The termination will protect the village of Haworth from further liability," said Zaluka, declining to provide details of what risk Lane's employment posed. "There has been a great deal of executive session discussions directly related to this matter," Zaluka said. referring to closed-door board meetings. Audience members spent more than an hour asking questions of Zaluka and City Attorney Jeff Dodds about the firing. Zaluka assured the crowd that the reasons for the firing will be disclosed Tuesday, but told it not to expect specifics that relate to confidential personnel records. Nathan Reardon, captain of the Haworth Ambulance Service, asked if progressive disciplinary measures had been taken to correct deficiencies town officials may have found with Lane's work. "I find it very hard to believe you get worse as a chief," said Reardon, adding that, "I think you guys are making a big mistake." Many audience members took aim at Dodds, calling him overpaid and too powerful in his role as the city's legal advisor and administrator. A collective groan was heard when Dodds explained that he is the direct supervisor for the town's three departments, including the police department. A Haworth woman said an online petition she has started to support Lane has received 400 signatures. Zaluka acknowledged that Lane is a very well-liked individual and a nice guy. Lane said he appreciates the support from local residents. And again from the opinion page, Jonah Goldberg, "Foreign policy needs focus. We get it already. The Iraq war was a mistake. Indeed, on this point, pretty much everyone agrees. Jeb Bush, the brother of the president who launched the war, has said so. So has Hillary Clinton, the only presidential candidate in either party to have actually voted to invade Iraq, though she refused to admit her vote was a mistake until fairly recently. The only disagreements on the Republican side are about the degree and nature of the mistake. Catch Donald Trump in a glandular moment, and he'll say that George W. Bush knowingly sent thousands of Americans to their deaths based on a lie. Ask Trump, when he's in a more mature mood, or when he gets bad press for his slanders, and he'll say he doesn't know whether it was a lie." The other GOP candidates agree that it was a mistake in hindsight, though most say, rightly, it was defensible at the time. Indeed, some of us believe that we could have turned a mistake into a success had Barack Obama not been in such a hurry to squander the hard-won victories of President Bush's surge. On the Democratic side, there's a lot less nuance. Senator Bernie Sanders insists that Clinton's vote for the war is all you need to know about her foreign policy judgment. Clinton's reply is, "One vote in 2002 is not a plan to defeat ISIS." Clinton is right, of course, but at this point, plans are less important than the will to put them into action. I suspect there's no shortage of plans to get the job done sitting in Obama's inbox. What's missing is a presidential commitment to implementing them. But ISIS is just one of our problems. Obama's own Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, told the Senate Armed Services Committee last week that we now face the most diverse array of challenges and threats that I can recall. By no means is it all Obama's fault. Saudi Arabia's problems, for instance, are a poisonous mix of religious extremism and medieval political arrangements temporarily sustained by an ultimately unsustainable economic model. Similarly, Vladimir Putin has had his eyes on restoring the grandeur of Imperial Russia for decades. China's burgeoning nationalism has been baked into the political and demographic cake for even longer. But these and other challenges have all been made worse on Obama's watch. Russia seized Crimea and declared an unofficial war on Ukraine. China has only grown emboldened in the face of American lassitude. Just last week, China deployed new missile systems to one of its man-made islands in a disputed region of the South China Sea while Obama was holding his South Asia summit in California. The insult was not subtle. Obama's Iran deal, crafted unilaterally as an end run around Congress, has started a Middle Eastern nuclear arms race and caused our long-standing allies in the region to question our reliability. To date, there's no evidence that Iran has abandoned its role as a terrorism sponsor, its quest for nuclear weapons, or its goal of becoming a regional hegemon. Before that, Obama's decision to renege on our missile defense commitments to our Eastern European allies sent a similar signal to friends and foes alike. We can debate how much blame Obama deserves for Syria's civil war, but almost no one outside his paid staff disputes that he's only made things worse. The instability closer to the fighting is even more dangerous. Russia and Turkey may soon go to war with each other as Russia mercilessly and indiscriminately massacres anyone standing in the way of its pet, Syrian President Bashar Assad. The Jordanian monarchy may crumble, in part for a lack of assistance from the United States. And yet, the gravity of the situation has yet to enter into the presidential contest in a serious way. As a co-author of Obama's disastrous foreign policy, Hillary Clinton has no interest in calling attention to the global catastrophes unfolding around us. Bernie Sanders doesn't want to talk about anything he can't blame on billionaires, and Donald Trump doesn't want to talk about anything other than his poll numbers, his insults, and the fraudulent claim that he predicted all of this before Bush launched the war in Iraq. It's time to take these things seriously, before it's too late. And from the letters to the editor, a letter from Beth Nolan of Decatur. School board shows impact of local votes. I have come to realize that the most important vote cast is for an elected official on a municipal board that governs your immediate community. I have been reminded of the importance of that lately as I learned the Decatur Board of Education voted behind closed doors to not renew Superintendent Lisa Taylor's contract. Qualities that are important in a candidate are not political party affiliation, but integrity, dedication to being transparent. Knowing the role of a board member is different than that of an administrator, and a sincere interest in wanting to do good instead of advancing personal agendas. These are the qualities I'll be looking for in school board candidates come April 2017. 4 members of our current board have failed in all regards, and the result is moving our community backward, not forward. Our community should be demanding the reason important votes are taken behind closed doors in violation of the Open Meetings Act, and agenda items are pulled at the last minute before they are brought before the public for discussion and vote. I urge our citizens to email board members to ask them to answer for their actions. More than Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump, municipal elections have the most immediate impact on our community and our kids. I'm looking forward to casting my vote in April 2017. And from the books and literature page, Mann publishes murder mystery novel set in Mattoon. Article by Rob Stroud, Lee News Service writer. Author Randy Irvin has set a fictional murder mystery against the backdrop of real Coles County locations in his new novel. Irvin of Mattoon says, "What goes around is the third book that he has written and self-published, but this 313-page mystery is his first full-length novel. What Goes Around tells the story of a police officer, Mark Tanner, who decides to look into the death of his partner, an undercover narcotics detective, after the official investigation goes nowhere. Tanner soon discovers a connection between this case and the local murder of a young woman 20 years earlier. He also finds there are dangerous individuals in his community who will keep the truth about these murders from being revealed. They decide Tanner needs to be eliminated to keep their secret," Irvin said. He added that the officer ultimately must go on the run while trying to bring the killers to justice. Irvin said he has always enjoyed writing as a hobby and is continually thinking of ideas for potential books. He said the basic plot of What Goes Around has been on his mind for quite a while. Irvin said feedback from friends and help from a professional proofreader helped him turn his early drafts into a finished manuscript. "I always told myself that one day I would take an idea and put it down on paper," Irvin said. "It was fun to put the pieces together and get it down on paper." Many of those plot pieces involve real-world locations. Irvin said he has set scenes on the campus of Eastern Illinois University, amid the graves of historic Shiloh Cemetery, and at other locations in the Charleston area. He said the book also travels farther afield to Effingham, Champaign, and Springfield. Irvin said he included history and locations regarding Ulysses S. Grant, the Big Four Railroads, and other Mattoon-related topics in his first book. Maycroft from 232nd. He self-published this history clue-filled mystery for young readers approximately a decade ago. I have always enjoyed history in general. I think there is a lot of local history that is really fascinating, Irvin said. It is fun to include some of that history in the books. Irvin, who is the chief of police for Lakeland College, also wrote about local history in his second book, An Ordinary Day, the story of Trooper Leighton Davis. This book, which he self-published 4 to 5 years ago, tells the true story of a state trooper who was murdered in 1976 near Effingham. Copies of What Goes Around are available for $10 each by contacting Irvin at Randy J. Irvin, RANDYJERVIN, at iCloud.com or 217-246-7170. And now, Prairie Talk. Joe Trimmer for the Herald and Review writes, If I could turn back time. I doubt if there's a person over 40, and maybe younger, who hasn't said, I wish I could go back and relive my life. Or a variation. If I had a chance to do it over again, I'd... What if you could? The possibility of time travel has always fascinated me. Not surprisingly, H.G. Wells' The Time Machine and the movie are high on my list of favorites. The transporter on Star Trek sets me to daydreaming. What did Lincoln's voice sound like? What really happened in Dealey Plaza that fateful day in November of 1963? How were those pyramids constructed? Did Atlantis exist? One drawback of the time machine was that it was anchored to one place. I suppose you could get out, as he did, and travel around. Ah, but the transporter could take you to any location in time. The three major assassinations of our era, JFK, RFK, and MLK. Imagine being on the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository or at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis or the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles and being able to say, wait a minute. Chances are there would have been no Vietnam, no President Nixon. What direction could race relations have taken? And for that matter, what direction would the whole of the United States have taken? Stop John Wilkes Booth. Stop Hitler before the madness of World War II. Stop the assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand of Austria that triggered World War I. Witnessing that first flight of the Wright brothers. Being on the Titanic. Well, maybe not that. Those are all big things. What about your own personal life? If you had married someone else, or taken that other job, or simply went down a different street. The possibilities, both good and bad, are limitless. Would you have been better off? Maybe, maybe not. We, you and I, are the sum of what we've been exposed to and experienced. Even the bad things or times influenced us. Painful as those life occurrences were, they formed us. We all wish we had studied a little more, ate or drank a little less, played a little harder, or worked a little more. But we didn't. And that's why I daydream. And why you probably do too. It's safe. I can imagine that if I had met Anne Margaret, she would have fallen madly in love with me. Yeah, right. I imagine I could have done what Sam Walton did. Not likely. I could have written the great American novel. Well, it's always a possibility. J.K. Rowling, Margaret Mitchell, and even F. Scott Fitzgerald weren't household names before they burst upon the scene. What you and I share with them is the ability to dream or imagine. Who knows? Maybe there's a Harry Potter or Scarlett O'Hara or Jay Gatsby hiding in one of us. So there I was the other day, standing on the wharf in Boston Harbor, getting ready to board that English ship where the barrels of tea were. My buddies, John, George, Paul, and Ringo, oops, wrong group and time, and I will show that King George can do with his tacks. And following up with the final two A3 briefs, the Lincoln-Decatur connection. Abraham Lincoln author Guy Fraker will give a presentation at 1:30 p.m. on Saturday, February 27th at the Macon County History Museum, 5580 North Fork Road. Admission is $2 to the presentation Lincoln's Constant Community, 1830 to 1861, the story of Lincoln's continuous connection to Decatur and the parallel growth of the man and the town. Fraker will discuss how no city in Illinois had a longer connection to Lincoln and how it helped shape his career. Fraker is the author of the book Lincoln's Ladder to the Presidency, the 8th Judicial Circuit. Books will be available for purchase. Also from Decatur and the A3 Briefs, DMH Hearts Day. Decatur Memorial Hospital will host a Day of Hearts from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, February 27th. The event is free with free DMH Day for Hearts shirts available along with a light lunch, vendors, and door prizes. Presentations will include The Emotional Heart by psychologist Dr. Lee Hall, The Smart Heart by cardiothoracic surgeon Marvin Derrick, and cardiologist Madhu Jethingram. The Active Heart by DMH Performance Enhancement Center manager Mike Stewart, and The Hungry Heart by Cafe DMH chef Jerry Takak and DMH Clinical Nutrition Manager Caitlin Kaunak. Seating is limited. Call 217-876-2850 to make a reservation. And finally, the meetings calendar. Here is a week's schedule of government meetings and other activities of interest to the public in Decatur and Macon County. Today, Monday, February 22nd, Harristown Village Board of Trustees at 7 p.m. in the Village Hall, 185 North Kembark Street. Moroa City Council at 7 p.m., 120 B.S. Locust Street, 120B on South Locust Street. NAACP Decatur Branch Executive Board, 6 p.m., Branch, 7 p.m., Dr. George Coates Community Center, 550 South Greenwood Avenue. On Tuesday, the Long Creek Township Board of Trustees, 5:30 p.m., Township Boardroom, 2610 Salem School Road. On Wednesday, Long Creek Township Cemetery Board of Trustees at 8:30 a.m., Township Building, 2610 Salem School Road. On Thursday, Decatur Traffic and Parking Commission, 4 p.m., Council Chambers, 3rd floor, Decatur Civic Center, 1 Gary K. Anderson Plaza. And the Macon County Board Justice Committee at 3 p.m., Room 514 in the County Office Building, 141 South Main Street, in Decatur. And this has been Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review. Today is February 22nd, 2016. I look forward to reading with you again soon. Thank you.